are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh, man, I've been hard since you said, hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast.
I don't know how we can just dismiss Bishop Sankey. Like, he's not going to add anything to this offense. I mean,
I hate you.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits. I'm fine. It's hard to concentrate on football right now when Chris Paul just got traded and baseball's underway. But, you know, whatever. Fine, we can talk about football if you want.
Chris Paul, is that tennis?
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
I'm like in the football mood. That's
well,
why
we don't have the budget to pay for that song.
We don't. That's why I have to sing it myself. But
we are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Welcome to the Friends with Fantasy Benefits football podcast. I am Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining me on this episode, the first episode of the 2017 season, is Eli Rosenzweig and Mike Warner. Mike, how you doing?
I'm like in the football mood. That's
well,
why
we don't have the budget to pay for that song.
We don't. That's why I have to sing it myself. But I'm excited. I'm excited to have you two on with me. I know I've been working a lot recently, and it's fun to talk some football. A different sport, a different time of year. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm super excited. Eli, how are you?
I'm fine. It's hard to concentrate on football right now when Chris Paul just got traded and baseball's underway, but, you know, whatever. Fine, we can talk about football if you want.
Chris Paul, is that tennis?
Oh, you pay. Diversify your skill sets in fantasy, man. Shit.
As I'm trying to hunt you down for the overall in the three sport league, so let's jump in. You know, before we jump in, you know, you can reach Eli on Twitter at EliFWFB, Mike on Twitter at MikeWarnerFWFB, me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB, we are back for another football season, and this should be a lot of fun. I've missed football. We've been kind of balls deep in baseball for quite a while right now. And so we're getting rolling, and you're going to hear some new voices on this podcast. You can give us a rate review on iTunes. It really helps us out, especially if it's the five-star variety. If you do that, that'll get you entered in to win some really cool stuff, some Friends of Fantasy Benefits swag. I've got some T-shirts. I think Mike has some mugs. I've got some other cool stuff from the Rec Room I can give away. So give us a five-star review on iTunes, and that will get you entered in to win some of that stuff that we'll be giving away kind of pretty much all season long. So definitely do that. So let's talk some football. And since it's our first podcast of the new season, let's talk about some faces in new places. And we're going to start with Brandon Cooks, who gets traded to the New England Patriots. So, Eli, you're in New England country, even though you're a Cowboys fan. What are your thoughts on Brandon Cooks going to the Patriots?
I don't think much changes. I mean, he's going to from a Hall of Fame quarterback to a Hall of Fame quarterback. He's going to a great offense to a great offense. He's averaged 80 catches and 1,150 yards the last 2 years. His touchdown numbers have been a little disappointing. I think that's been maybe a little fluky. I think those numbers could shoot up, and he might reach double digits for the first time in his career. I just love that. Yeah, this Brady's got a lot of weapons, and that might hurt Cooks, but I think it's going to help Cooks because opposing defenses are going to have to focus on Gronk, and they're going to have to focus on one of the best possession receivers in the NFL in Edelman. So that leaves Cooks, you know, kind of open to make a ton of big plays. So I'm looking for him to be really good. I think I am the high man on him on the site. I got him ranked 11th. I could see him, you know, being a top five guy. That wouldn't surprise me at all.
Mike, are you on board?
Yeah, I'm on board. He finished as a top 10 receiver last year in PPR formats, and right now his average draft position is somewhere around wide receiver 12. It's different in various spots, so it depends on what format and everything, but usually it's somewhere between 10 and 15 is where you can get him in drafts right now, and I think that's appropriate. I am kind of throwing out his last couple of years here with the Saints because the New England offense is so diverse. It has multiple aspects that you can use. They obviously, you know, spread the ball around. And I think overall, when you look at the end of the season numbers, he will still be a top 15 receiver. And I'm not really worried about about that. What I am worried about is kind of the game-to-game upside with him. And, you know, the Patriots didn't throw as much as people think last year. They still are completely content with running the ball. They do have a good offensive line. So I think overall that he's going to be close to a wide receiver one, and I'm fine drafting him. But I don't think from a game-to-game basis you're going to be expecting the same upside that he had with the Saints, where he just went off for those random, you know, 180-yard, two-touchdown games.
I feel like he's going to be very boom or bust this year. I think he's going to be one of those guys, and I think this is what you were probably alluding to, Mike, where he's going to win you weeks and he is going to disappear in weeks. There's just so many targets in New England that I feel like there are going to be times where he's really just, you know, getting past the coverage deep. He's going to hit a couple, you know, long balls, score a couple touchdowns, and then weeks where the defenses key on him, bottle him up, and let the Patriots kind of move kind of in the flat and in the shorter ends of the field. So for me, he isn't a wide receiver one, but he's close because I think the upside is that great. I ranked him in my initial wide receiver ranks at wide receiver number 14. And I think that's, you know, you're looking at him as a wide receiver two with some upside. And so I like the move, but I think for me, it changes Mike Thomas's value a ton more than it really changes his own. You know, I think Mike Thomas becomes a wide receiver one now that Brandon Cooks is out of town, because he becomes the main target in New Orleans.
Do we think this renders Chris Hogan pretty much irrelevant now?
Yes, and it kills Malcolm Mitchell.
Yeah, it hurts both of them. Julian Edelman, while not having a great season last year, will probably remain somewhat stagnant. It's kind of going to be the same philosophy that the New England running back situation has been for the last, you know, 10 years under Bill Belichick. It's going to be the same thing with the whole offense, in my opinion. Like, this hurts everyone to me. I mean, because they added Dwayne Allen as well, who obviously the Patriots love the two tight end scheme. They still have Edelman, like I mentioned. James White's still there lurking to get, you know, short receptions as well. We're going to talk about another running back that they added. I mean, there's just so many avenues that the offense can go with each and every week. And Belichick doesn't give two shits about your fantasy team. He's going to spread the ball around. I think that it kind of hurts everyone on this end, in my opinion.
All right. Let's talk about the running back they added. They added Mike Gillisley. Is he a running back too, Mike?
I think he is. If you look at what LeGarrette Blount did last year, he had 72 total touches in the red zone on a Patriots team that ran the ball in the top three last year in attempts per game. I mean, you have to love that. And I just think that LeGarrette Blount, while he has been stellar the last few years, especially under the Patriots, Gillisley is just as good. His yards per carry are solid. He's very elusive if you watch him on the field. He had a couple games filling in for LeSean McCoy last season where he did fairly well. And I think that Gillisley is going to, again, be a guy in standard formats that you can use. I don't necessarily think he's going to be a running back two every week, but I think when the season is said and done, he is going to be somewhere in that vicinity. And I'm willing to take a gamble on him each and every day of the week. Looking up his draft position, I think he's a little bit down there. I can't even see it right now, but oh yeah, he's down at number running back 39 right now. I'd gladly do that. He's going behind Robert Kelly, Matt Asiata, Tim Hightower. I think that the average draft position is probably going to move up as we get closer to training camp and preseason. But as of right now, I think Gillisley's a fine draft bargain at where he's going, and I'm willing to take a shot.
Eli, what are your thoughts on Gillisley?
Yeah, I totally agree. I got him ranked at number 21. Like Mike said, Blount put up incredible production. I don't think he's the most talented guy ever. He was just in a great situation and benefited from it. I mean, obviously he's got some skills, but you got to give Belichick credit. Hate him or love him, however you feel about the Patriots, they do a pretty good job of stealing away players from other teams that are kind of undervalued and don't get the opportunity for whatever reason. So this is a guy that's probably more talented than we think. They have a lot of, you know, pass catchers at running back, so they don't really have a lead guy. So I think Gillisley's going to, you know, get a ton of touches on first and second down. Obviously, it's a great offense, so he's going to score a fair amount of TD. So I could see him sneaking into the top 15 when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. I think he is kind of an underrated asset. I have him in my initial ranks at running back 24, but I think I could probably stand to move him up a couple spots because I don't necessarily think there's going to be a lot of competition for him on first and second down. And I think, you know, you're going to see the other guys in that backfield kind of dominate the passing downs, But for the most part, I think, you know, Brady's getting older. They're going to want to protect him. They're going to want to keep running the ball on first and second as much as they can to set up play action to a Brandon Cooks. So I think Gillislee could be in for a big year as long as he's healthy. All right, let's move on to the next guy. Let's talk about Marshawn Lynch coming out of retirement, getting traded to his hometown Oakland Raiders. Eli, you dropped him in our Dynasty League, and now he's probably going to go in the top three picks in the supplemental draft that we're having in the Friends of Fantasy Benefits.
Well, yeah, okay, give me a break. I dropped him like over a calendar year ago, so you know it's not like I just dropped him after waiting a year for him on the bench. All right, so
no, it's actually worse for me because I picked him up towards the end of last year in a rebuilding year, and then dropped him right before the end of the season. So of course I miss out. But what are your thoughts on Marshawn Lynch?
You know, I'm fairly optimistic that he'll be a pretty good fantasy contributor. I feel like people think he's older than he really is. He's been around forever and he retired, so people probably think he's like 35 and washed up and doesn't have a lot of juice left. But he's only 31, so that's not that bad. Obviously, running backs fall off in the 30s, but he's still got some power in those legs, I would imagine. He's on a great offense, doesn't have a ton of competition for the job. He's not going to be the true workhorse he used to be, but I still would imagine that he's going to get a fair amount of touchdowns and be, you know, fairly consistent and not killing you week to week. So I got him ranked 14th. I guess anything's possible. Maybe he'll be a little washed up and we'll all regret taking him where he's going. But, you know, most likely he'll be pretty solid.
Mike, what are your thoughts on Lynch?
I love Marshawn Lynch. And I'm going to Oakland. Oakland's offensive line is an absolute stud unit. They were tops in pass protection last year. And then they were also in the top 10 in run blocking as well. No, Marshawn Lynch isn't going to be the same exact runner we saw a couple of years ago, but I don't think he would return to the NFL if he didn't feel like he had some juice left in his legs. I know that there is that historical stat about running backs being over 30 years old, and it's not usually great, but I'm willing to take a gamble on him because at the end of the day, I think he is going to be a workhorse for this team. I don't think he would have agreed to come to Oakland if he wasn't going to be a workhorse, and I think that helps the whole offense all around. Amari Cooper had struggled scoring last year. When you put somebody like Marshawn Lynch in there, who is obviously great in the red zone, that adds just an added weapon on the offensive end that can really lure guys away from somebody like Cooper, who I think is in for a massive year since we're not talking about him this show. But overall, I think that he's a solid get. He is going as the 10th running back currently in ADP. That's where you're going to have to spend to get him. Mind you, it's behind guys like Jordan Howard, Jay Ajayi, DeMarco Murray, all guys that I would not take in front of Marshawn Lynch. But I think at the end of the day, he's going to be close to a running back one in standard format. Still not the greatest pass catcher in the world, so you can probably lean some other ways in PPR. But overall, I think that with the Oakland offensive line and the weapons they have on their unit, I think that they're going to be a really stellar offense, and Lynch is going to be part of that.
I'm huge on Amari Cooper this year, and I know a lot of people are detractors, but I think Marshawn Lynch plays a huge role in that. I think that he's going to be able to take some pressure off the wide receiver, some pressure off of David Carr. I think it's hard because when a guy misses a whole entire season, even when it's not due to injury, there is a little worry about rust and you know what kind of shape he's going to be in. By all accounts, he looks pretty good, and so I'm, you know, his rank, Lynch's rank for me will really fluctuate after I see him in game. You know, once we see him on the field, once you see him running between the tackles, if he looks like the same old Marshawn Lynch, then he's going to tend to skyrocket up my board and a lot of people's boards, I'm sure. And if he looks slow, if he looks like he's lost a step, he's going to tumble. So if you got an early draft, you know, before preseason games start getting going, I think he's worth a gamble because, I mean, this is a guy that has been, you know, a first-round pick in the not-too-distant past. So I think he's worth a gamble. Right now, I believe I have him just outside of an RB1. I have him at 14th on my running backs, but he could easily leapfrog a Lamar Miller or a Fortinet or something like that if he looks good. So let's go ahead and move on. Let's talk about Adrian Peterson signing with the Saints. Eli, what are your thoughts on this? I mean, does this hurt? This obviously hurts his stock, and it hurts Mark Ingram's stock, but by how much?
Yeah, this is just kind of one of those situations that I'm probably going to want to avoid, although I somehow end up with Mark Ingram in every league I've ever been in mm-hmm. since he's been
That's
in
why
the
I
NFL.
Threw it to you first.
Yeah, I got Adrian Peterson ranked 31st. He's only played really one season in the last three. I mean, he's 32. I know I just talked about how Marshawn still probably has something left in the tank, and he's just 1 year younger than Peterson. But Peterson's coming off a ton of injuries. You know, Marshawn's fresh, sat out a year. I just think it's different with Peterson. He's going to be rusty. He still probably has something left in the tank, but he's not going to be – they have Ingram, so they're not going to be feeding the ball to Peterson. It's probably going to hurt both of them, but in the grand scheme of things, I still think Ingram's going to be the guy you want. Definitely hurts him, but I'm probably going to avoid Peterson. Where's he going in the draft right now?
He's going about 20th.
Adrian Peterson is going 20th?
20th at running back. 50th yeah, overall.
Where do you guys have him ranked? Because I have him 31. I mean, it's possible for me to envision where it makes sense to take Peterson in the top 20 when he's coming off the injury and he's competing with Mark Ingram. That's just crazy to me.
Yeah, I believe I have him 32nd. Yep, 30 seconds.
To put it, I didn't put rankings out in the first installment, but if I was doing ranks, I would not have him above guys like Bilal Powell, Dalvin Cook, LeGarrette Blount, Tevin Coleman, Doug Martin, Amir Abdullah, Mike Gillisley, Frank Gore,
Paul Perkins.
There's Derrick Henry. I might even take a shot on, even though his role isn't really cemented at this point. There's multiple avenues.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure all of those guys. I have him ranked below them. Trying to find Henry, but I can't seem to find him on the list. So, but all the other guys, I have him below. I just think there's just too much competition with Ingram. For me, you know, I think this also lowers Ingram. I know you're much higher. Well, I don't want to say necessarily much higher. You've got him ranked 15th. Eli, I have him ranked 21st in terms of Ingram this year. But I think he could drop even more for me because, I mean, the Saints in the past haven't necessarily been extremely committed to the run. Their defense is still shaky. They're going to be down in games. They're going to have to abandon the run, I think, at times. And so I honestly don't want to – I think what Eli said at the beginning is I don't want to have anything to do with this situation, which sucks because I love the talent of both these guys and the careers of both these guys.
This is what I'll add about this is the Saints last year had Tim Hightower taking a ton of the red zone and goal to go opportunities that they had. So Mark Ingram was already kind of in a spot that was inconsistent for fantasy owners, despite his talent and obvious talent over the last few years here. Adding Adrian Peterson, who is finally going to get an offensive line that is good. I mean, the last few years, the Minnesota Vikings offensive line has been one of the worst in the league. That's why with Sam Bradford last year, they had to go to this dink and dunk scheme because they just literally could not protect anyone. It's going to be kind of a refreshing time for Peterson to get out of that. At the same time, his yards after contact the last few years have been under two. So, I mean, he hasn't been as elusive or as special as he was before, which is obvious based on his age and everything. But him going where he's going in the fifth round, essentially, in 10-team formats is too rich. And if you're trying to win a fantasy league, you want some upside. And when you have a Saints team that was in the bottom 10 in run attempts per game last year, they might tick up to mid-pack this year, maybe even top 10 in run attempts per game. But that still doesn't leave me with great confidence that Peterson's going to be one of the benefactors of that. And even if in a plus year, he ends up getting 10 touchdowns this year, paying a fifth round price for him, it is not something that I'm willing to do to have maybe a 30% chance of that happening.
Yep, I agree. Let's move on. Let's talk about the Eagles. They signed a bunch of guys. They signed Alshon Jeffrey, LeGarrette Blount, Torrey Smith. Mike, what are your thoughts on all these signings?
You know, I'll go one by one. LeGarrette Blount, I love the signing. I love where his draft cost is for standard formats, not necessarily in PPR, but in standard formats, he's going 67th overall. That puts him as the 26th running back on the board. I still like a couple of guys that are going after him as higher upside plays, but Blount has been consistent. He's going to be the lead back there. I think it's no questions asked. He's going to be ahead of Ryan Matthews, and Darren Sproles will still play his role on third down and such, but Blount is going to get the goal line carries on an offense that is now very good. I liked what I saw at Carson Wentz last year. Obviously, he started off undefeated, and then things kind of spiraled a bit for him. But overall, I really liked what I saw out of Wentz, and I think that adding weapons like Jeffrey and like Torrey Smith really helps him out. I think this really hurts somebody like Jordan Matthews, specifically in PPR formats. Somebody that's been taken fairly early these last few years is now going to be someone that is more of a wide receiver 3-4 as opposed to a wide receiver 2 in PPR formats. But still with Torrey Smith, I'm not really interested. And with Alshon Jeffrey, I think he kind of takes a hit here as well, because there's now just a abundance of talent on the offensive scheme as opposed to just one or two guys. And with having a guy like Jeffrey who's been in Chicago and getting the lion's share of the targets, I don't think it'll be as skewed as we've seen in the past. So he right now is being taken, Alshon Jeffrey, at pick or as the 14th wide receiver on the board. That's in front of guys like Demaryius Thomas, who I would take in front of him, Sammy Watkins, Keenan Allen. I think that those three guys are players that I would take in front of somebody like Jeffrey. Not to knock him from a fantasy sense, but I still think that the upside was higher when he was with Chicago as opposed to being in Philly.
Eli, what are your thoughts?
There seems to be a wide range of rankings on LeGarrette Blount. Some people are really high on him. Some people are really low on him. I'm interested to see what you think, Jess. I don't see why people are so scared. Like, I understand that he's not in New England anymore, and it seems like players in New England just flourish. You know, Tom Brady, goddammit, I hate those people. But LeGarrette Blount is pretty solid. Doesn't have a lot of competition. It's going to be a pretty good offense. They're not going to want to put too much on Wentz right now. So I think Blount's going to get a ton of touches and a ton of touchdowns.
Yeah, my original rank of him was 30th at running back, and I think I'm going to move him up. I think for me, you know, the amount of different teams he's been cut from worries me.
Well, that's not going to happen here. It's just that he's like a little bit of a head case.
Well,
and he was smoking dope with Le'Veon Bell.
He's one dirty test away from missing an entire season, I believe.
Yeah, but has LeGarrette ever even been suspended? I don't think he's ever really been suspended, necessarily.
Yes, he has.
Yeah, he missed a whole year, I think.
Yeah. I don't know if he missed a whole year, but I mean, he's been suspended before, so it's...
He has not missed a whole year.
Yeah. That's not. He got caught in the car with Le'Veon Bell.
He got suspended one game. It's the only time he's ever been suspended, I believe.
Yeah, but he had trouble at Oregon.
Yeah,
and
punching the dude.
And he was a dickhead with the Buccaneers, which it was a pretty nasty exit.
This is also a team that has Ryan Matthews still on it. It also, Wendell Smallwood looked good in spurts last year. So they drafted a guy in the fourth round this year. I mean, I don't know that he necessarily has the job to himself. Now, you know, obviously I think Ryan Matthews probably gets cut. At some point they're not going to carry six running backs into the season. Right now I think the picture is a little bit too murky for me. I love the situation in terms of the offensive line they had in front of them. Pro Football Focus just released their rankings of all the offensive lines in professional football, and they had the Eagles as the number one offensive line in football. And I don't know if I necessarily say it's the best, but I'd say it's definitely up there. And so that to me, if he does get all the workload, he could be a guy that is a low end running back 1 or a high end running back 2. I'm just not ready to bet on Blount the person or the situation quite yet. This may work itself out through the rest of the off season and into the preseason games. But at the moment, I'm not ready to kind of commit to being on the Blount bandwagon. In terms of Alshon Jeffrey, I love Alshon Jeffrey this year. I know there's weapons there, and I know that he's not going to necessarily be the guy, quote unquote, necessarily. But he looks really, really good in the OTAs, in minicamps. I think this is he's finally got a quarterback that could stay on the field, because he's been dealing with Jay Cutler and then whoever Jay Cutler's backup is for the last couple of years. I think that the fact that there's other options on the field actually can benefit him, because I don't think he's going to be double teamed as much. For me, it's all about health. If Alshon Jeffrey is healthy and he looks healthy at the moment, I think he's a wide receiver 1, and I'm more than happy to pair him with a guy that a wide receiver two with a little bit less risk in terms of injury, and feel pretty good at the end of my draft. So I'm all about Alshon Jeffrey this year. Eli, what are your thoughts on Jeffrey?
Yeah, I love Jeffrey. Like you said, it's going to be a big boost to him that he knows who his quarterback is week in, week out. They're going to develop a rapport. And, Jordan Matthews is more of a possession receiver, so they're going to throw it to Jeffrey a lot for long plays. He's going to score a good amount of touchdowns, I would imagine. Yeah, you always have to worry about the injuries with Jeffrey, but I do think he's going to have a little bit of a revitalization of his career. I mean, this is a guy that had 1,400 yards a couple years ago, and then he followed that up with 1,110 touchdowns. People kind of forget, since he's had two injury-plagued seasons a little bit, that he was kind of a stud. And even though he had two injury-plagued seasons in a row, he still managed to get 800 yards in both those seasons. So even with poor quarterback play, he could still get some numbers. So
now in garbage time. In garbage time.
Think there's going to be garbage time in Philadelphia?
No, I think Philly's going to be really good this year. I
kind of do too, actually.
I think they're going to be really good. And I think you guys are downplaying Jeffrey's, or I guess you're like kind of glorifying Jeffrey a bit. Like, I'm not trying to be down on him, because I'm not. But Jeffrey is a good receiver, but not a great one. And for fantasy, like,
I disagree with you. He has been hampered by injuries. He is a great receiver.
I mean, yeah, look what he did in year two and year three of his career. Not many receivers do that.
Yeah, but for me, he has stone hands, and you can't just dismiss the injury issues. Like, he constantly gets injured. Yes, this might be a year where he's on a competitive team and a new organization, and he feels better about things, and maybe he tries a little harder to get things accomplished or whatever.
He's also coming into the year with those injuries. He's not coming into the year with an injury this year.
Not right now, but training camp's coming.
All right. I think you're ridiculous. I don't think he has stone hands. I just
don't see the argument with going Jeffrey over Thomas, Demaryius Thomas, because Thomas, despite having a down year.
Who's the quarterback
year,
in Denver?
Doesn't matter.
Me? Am I the quarterback in Denver? I mean,
doesn't matter.
I like Paxton Lynch, but he's not ready to deliver the ball to Demaryius Thomas.
Telling me you would rather have Jeffrey over Demaryius Thomas based on what they've done in the body of work the last 3 years?
Yes.
Right. Well, I that's a disagreement. I mean, that's fine. But
Board bet. More points this season in standard leagues, Demaryius Thomas over Alshon Jeffrey.
I have Demaryius Thomas, and let's not mimic the ESPN podcast directly.
No. But we call it a brag bet or whatever it is. I gotta remember that.
I'm not trying to have this go on forever, but at the end of the day, like, I think Jeffrey's great. I have him all the time. Every year I draft him somewhere because I love Jeffrey. So I'm not trying to be the down guy on him, but I think that we have to have a little more sober outlook on him, especially since the Eagles themselves, Doug Peterson likes to, run a spread the wealth type offense. It's not like he just features one player. That's why they have Torrey Smith. That's why they have Matthews. They still have Aguilar running around there somewhere. They have Darren Sproles, who they like to use in the pass game. They have Zach Ertz. They also have Blunt to use in the goal line. I mean, like, they have so many options now that Jeffrey is not going to be in a spot like he was before, where he had Brandon Marshall and himself and that was it. Or, last year when it was just him on the field, whenever he was on the field. So I think it's just a different situation, which doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be down this year, but we have to rely on health for him, which has been a stretch. We have to rely on him getting the same amount of target share, which is a stretch in my opinion. And we have to rely on him just being overall as good as he's been the last few years, which I don't think is a stretch, but I think that you guys are just a little high on him.
All right. Let's move on. Talk about my boys, the Redskins, signing Terrell Pryor. Mike, go ahead and shit all over that one.
No, I'm not gonna shit over. I love Terrell Pryor. First and foremost, he's like one of the best stories ever, because his whole deal in college was being a quarterback, and then he comes into the league and he's with the Oakland Raiders, and they were awful, and they tried to find ways to get him to be a better football player overall or better quarterback, and it just wasn't the position for him. And I love that the Browns gave him a shot last year. He didn't disappoint based on having Cody Kessler, Josh McCown, a bunch of just no names out there at quarterback on a Browns team that was hideous last year. Obviously this is a boom to his value, but I think that this is even better for Jameson Crowder. Like, I'm all in on Jameson Crowder this year. I know you and I, Justin, were really high on him last year, and I'm glad that panned out. So I'm even higher this year on Crowder. You still have Doxson there. You still have Jordan Reed when he's healthy. They obviously drafted P. Ryan. So they have options in Washington, but I think overall that Pryor's going in a pretty decent spot. He's going about 50th pick overall. That's somebody I would gladly take over AP, who are either about going in the same spot or range. 21st wide receiver, I can see him ending up around that area. Last year in targets, Terrell Pryor was in the top 10 in targets per game, just around 9. I don't think that he'll get 9 targets a game, but even if you drop it down to like 6.5, 7, I think he could score more touchdowns, which will obviously help him in that way as well. So in PPR leagues, I'm not as big a fan, but in standard formats, I think Pryor's going to be a wide receiver 2 this season. I have no problem with him.
Eli, what are your thoughts on Pryor?
Yeah, I like him a lot too. Obviously, the kind of production he had with this hot garbage at quarterback is really impressive. And also, you know, he was kind of learning a new position. So the fact that he was able to put up 1,000 yards with bad quarterbacks and not a lot of experience running routes and being a wide receiver is really encouraging now that he's got Kirk Cousins and a pretty well-rounded offense. You know, the sky's the limit with this guy. He definitely could put up bigger numbers. And you got to think he's going to get more than 4 touchdowns last year. I think that was a little bit fluky. You know, I do worry about that. He only caught 77 out of 140 targets. It seems like a really bad percentage, but I'm sure that'll get better with time as he learns how to be a receiver. So I'm optimistic on him. I got him at wide receiver 23. It's funny that Justin has him ranked the worst of all the Friends and Fantasy Benefit rankers. You just tried not to jinx him or something?
No, but I mean, I think the love is a little bit insane. Like, I mean, yeah, he had a great year in Cleveland last year, but he was the only person in Cleveland. So, I mean, yeah, he got a ton of the targets, a ton of the share. I don't think that is going to be the case in Washington. I think he's going to be good. Do I think he's going to be great? No, he's not a wide receiver 2 for me. He's a wide receiver 3. I think Jamison Crowder is the guy. I mean, he's the guy, and I was very, very tempted in my initial ranks to rank Crowder above Pryor, even in standard, because Cousins loves Crowder. This takes a lot of the pressure off. I know a lot of people were down on the Redskins, down on Kirk Cousins because of losing Garcon and losing DeSean Jackson. But I think they've done a fantastic job. I think Doxson takes a step forward this year and becomes a really interesting guy. And I think Crowder takes a huge step forward and becomes the becomes a Julian Edelman-like player in terms of where he was in his prime. But for me, in terms of Pryor, I'm not going to pay the price. I think there are too many mouths to feed in that Redskins offense, especially when Jordan Reed's healthy. I think there are going to be games where he completely disappears. To me, this is more about the supporting cast around Pryor getting a boost from him as opposed to him himself being a fantastic fantasy option. Let's talk about the aforementioned DeSean Jackson signing with Mike's Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Mike, how excited are you?
I'm super excited about DeSean Jackson. I think that he's going to add an element to the Buccaneers that they've lacked a bit, because even though Mike Evans is an athletic freak and he's obviously one of the best receivers in football, they haven't had somebody to really stretch the field, and Jackson's going to offer that for them. Obviously, Winston has gotten better over the course of his career thus far. I think that will continue this year. If you look at Jackson himself as a fantasy commodity, I don't necessarily think he is that special. I do think he's more of a wide receiver 3, and that's fine. He's being taken about that right now at pick 34, or as the 34th wide receiver, pick 80 overall. I think that's a decent value for him. But in the mocks that I've done, Jamison Crowder is the guy that I've been going with ahead of him. I even like Stephon Diggs, who we talked about in an earlier chat, Eli and I trying to acquire him from another guy. But I think that overall, this isn't going to be any type of boon to his value. It's more of a football move that I really like for the Buccaneers. From a fantasy perspective, he's still going to continue to be boom or bust. I think that he's going to be a guy that some weeks can win you a week, and then other weeks he's going to end up being more of a mediocre option for you. But as the season goes on, I think he's going to be more of a wide receiver 3, and that's pretty much where he's being drafted. But I couldn't be more excited as a Buccaneers fan.
I love how you're throwing like shade by not actually mentioning one of our new writers' name that you're trying to rip off. Diggs.
Stephon Diggs. Donnie Miller. Yeah, sorry.
Donnie Miller, who will be probably a fill-in on this podcast from time to time, and is one of our new writers over at Friends of Fantasy Benefits. Eli, what are your thoughts on this move?
Normally, I don't like receivers that are kind of boomer bust, where if they don't score a touchdown, they pretty much give you nothing. And Jackson's kind of been one of those players in the past. But I think people will knock him because, you know, everyone's had DeSean Jackson, like, what, three different times in their fantasy career. He's been around forever. And a lot of times sometimes he disappoints, so people are kind of frustrated with him. And it's not sexy to own DeSean Jackson. People like the young up-and-comers. So I think Jackson goes a little bit later in drafts than he should. I mean, Mike says wide receiver three. Yeah, I think that's probably where he will finish. But that's, like, also worst-case scenario. He's pretty consistent. He's had 1,000 yards three of the last four seasons. He's pretty reliable. He always stays healthy. He's got an up-and-coming quarterback in Winston throwing the ball. Mike Evans is going to take a ton of attention away from Jackson, and he'll be able to run free. So I'm optimistic about Jackson. I think he's not going to kill you. There's some upside, but he's definitely going to be able to give you wide receiver three production and you're drafting him at wide receiver three, so that's fine with me.
Yeah. I do want to say, before you start, Justin, that I don't think this will help Evans' value as much as it helps somebody like Doug Martin. Whenever he comes back from suspension, I think that this will help Doug Martin more than anybody else on the Bucs team because, you know, Evans, you're already drafting as a wide receiver one, but Martin himself is being taken way later than he should be. And, I mean, he's right now the 71st pick overall. That's amazing value for a guy that just, 2 years ago was being taken in the top 20. So I think that Martin is the guy that you should be looking for value on the Buccaneers based on this move itself.
I think it helps out I almost said Jemias.
Yeah, you love that name, Jemias.
I think it helps out my good buddy Jemias quite a bit. I think it gives him a down the field threat. I mean, I ranked Jackson as my 31st wide receiver. I think I'm going to move him down, probably not a ton, but I think there's going to be inconsistency problems. You know, especially unless Winston really takes a step forward in his accuracy, I think there are going to be a ton of times where he gets overthrown or underthrown, and that's going to be frustrating for fantasy owners. I think he's probably a mid to low end wide receiver three, which is about where he's going. So I think it's fair value, and I think in leagues where people really value kind of young talent, and we see that a lot in fantasy football. There are going to be times where he drops tremendously, and I think that will be unfair. And I think that those are the times to pounce, especially if you can get him as a low-end wide receiver three or a high-end wide receiver four. I think I like that value. Let's talk about Jeremy Maclin, who signed a deal with the Ravens, getting away from Alex Smith and his noodle arm, going to Joe Flacco. Eli, what are your thoughts on Jeremy Maclin?
Looking at my rankings, I ranked him 46. I should probably move him up a little bit more. He's in a pretty good situation. They don't really have a true number one. He's maybe not a true number one either, but he's going to get a good amount of the targets. Mike Wallace is so boomer bust. He's just a big play guy that is pretty much past his prime. And Perriman has been a massive disappointment after being drafted in the first round. So Maclin will get a ton of targets. Flacco, you know, love him or hate him, he's decent. He throws the ball, a pretty good deep ball. So Maclin will get some targets. He's pretty reliable, Maclin. He's had 2 1,000-yard seasons in the last three. He gets a fair amount of touchdowns when he gets targeted. So I think it's pretty solid. I wouldn't mind him. I think he's a decent wide receiver three and a great wide receiver four, and he's probably going at a good price. So I like Maclin.
What are your thoughts, Mike?
I'm not a fan of this move, and I'm not really a fan of Maclin on this team. Now, Baltimore was tops in the league in pass attempts per game last year, which is great, but they were in a ton of games where they just couldn't use their running backs, and they were in a ton of games where they needed to throw because they were down so much. I think that they'll be much more competitive this year. When you look at Pro Football Focus's rating system, he was below average and on the wide receiver scale. Mike Wallace is boom or bust, but he is somebody that has a consistent role. From all accounts, Breshad Perriman has had a great offseason, and yes, we've heard that before, but I think that Perriman is going to be somewhat of a threat to this team in terms of touches this year. I mean, I don't love the upside, and I don't love the landing spot either. Maclin's getting taken in about the 10th round, right behind somebody like Mike Wallace, Corey Coleman. I mean, either I'd go John Brown, who's going as the 122nd pick overall. Much rather go John Brown because he at least offers the upside that you're looking for. Even somebody like Marvin Jones going a little bit later. I just think that Maclin is going to have his name associated with success because he's been a fairly successful receiver in his time. But I just don't love the landing spot because I think that they're going to be in much more competitive games. They're going to want to be a much more balanced offense. Baltimore is. And when it comes down to it, I just don't think he's going to have as big of a target share when he came from a team in Kansas City that, despite having noodle-armed Alex Smith, gave him the ball a ton. He's just not going to see the same target share or the average depth of target either. He might be more equipped for somebody like or for a PPR format just because I do think he plays the slot a ton and that might help him out a bit. But when it comes to standard formats, I think Macklin's going to be a bust.
Wait, you don't think he's going to get the average depth of target? Because that's where I start to disagree. I
think in PPR formats, he's not going to have he's not going to be getting deep targets in any way, in my opinion. I think he's going to be using the Kamar Aiken role.
I think he's going to get deeper targets than he was getting in Kansas City.
No, that's what they have Perryman and Wallace there for, in my opinion.
I don't know. I'm not necessarily like going all in on Jeremy Macklin, but I think he's a pretty decent value right now. On ESPN, he's going off as the 48th wide receiver. I think you have nothing to lose by taking him as a wide receiver 4, wide receiver 5. And I mean, I think he's got upside. I feel like he has talent. I think he was wasted in Kansas City with Alex Smith as his quarterback. I think Joe Flacco being able to stretch the field, even if he is in the Kamar Aiken role, I think that's even that could be even better for him with guys like Perriman stretching the field. So, but I think the depth of target will increase for him. I think he will get a lot more looks. I mean, he had one reception, then 6 reception, 3 reception, 4 reception in the last 4 games in Kansas City. I mean, I don't think that's going to happen necessarily in Baltimore. So I like him a little bit better than you, I think. Let's move on. Let's talk about Eddie Lacy signing in Seattle. Some people really feeling the buzz, but Thomas Rawls is still there. Mike, what are your thoughts on Eddie Lacy in Seattle?
No interest at all. The Seattle offensive line is still god-awful, and it's not going to help anything. Thomas Rawls is the guy that I would much rather buy in this type of situation. Lacy's going as, let me see, the 53rd overall pick right now, the 20th running back, 23rd in ESPN, and 21st in the fantasy football calculator. I'm just not interested. Based on what I've seen from Lacy the last few years in Green Bay, and then based on the fact that Thomas Rawls is still a very good player, they still have CJ Procise, who's going to be coming back as well. Like, I just do not like this situation at all. The fact that he's going as the 20th running back or around that time is insane to me. I much rather go Thomas Rawls, who's going at about the 50th running back, 130th pick overall. Much rather go that route than spend on Eddie Lacy, who not only is looking like his skills aren't as good, but also on an offensive line or behind an offensive line that was literally one of the worst in football last year, and it really hasn't taken any strides to get any better.
According to Pro Football Focus, it is the worst offensive line in football, and I would agree.
And Football Outsiders had them as the 26th in running blocking and the 25th in pass protection last year.
Yeah. Eli, what are your thoughts on Eddie Lacy?
Man, Mike's sounding a lot like me today, just shitting on every single player. I love it. I like Lacy. I think him going as the 20th running back seems fair to me. I know the line's not good, but the offense is still pretty good. I love Rawls as well, but Rawls was pretty bad last year in a decent sample size. He averaged 3.2 yards a carry. And again, I know the Seattle's line is terrible, but the year before he was 5.6. So Rawls seemed to take a big step back last year. And, you know, people say Fat Eddie Lacy. Well, Fat Eddie Lacy averaged 5.1 yards a carry last year. I know it's not he only played 5 games and ran 71 times, but he's been incredibly consistent, really solid, really healthy other than last year. I'm optimistic that both could be fantasy relevant and both can be fairly decent values for where they're going in drafts. I think if you take Lacy, you probably got to take Rawls as well. Definitely, I'm not a big handcuff guy, but this is certainly one of those situations where you got to get both if you're going to get one of them, I think.
Yeah, I would completely agree with that.
Yeah, Lacy's only 27, and it's just one like off season in last year when but he still have 5 yards to carry, so he's still got plenty of juice left in this tank. So I like Eddie Lacy.
Remember last year when everybody was talking about how the strategy of the year is the no RB strategy, the no RB strategy. Everybody wanted to do the no RB strategy. Like, I think last year proved that this year you really need to take an RB early, because I don't want Eddie. I don't want to have to rely on Eddie Lacy.
No.
And so, like, I mean, I think I'm closer to Eli than I am to you, Mike. But I could easily tumble him down my board once I see him in game action. And, you know, once maybe other situations get kind of more figured out. The problem is, I think right now he's going to have the job. I think Seattle wants him to have the job. I have no real faith that he will be able to hold on to the job all year long. And so I will probably drop him from the 18th rank I have him right now. But I really need to see him in game action before I can make a major move one way or another. But this is the reason why I'm more than happy to pay up for a different guy in a better situation. It's a really shitty line. It's a team that I think is going to be forced to rely more on the pass this year than they probably want to. So I will not end up with a lot of shares of Eddie Lacy just because I'm grabbing our running backs earlier, especially in standard formats. All right, let's talk about Jamaal Charles signing with Denver. This is another situation I don't really want to have anything to do with. Mike, do you?
I don't want to have anything to do with this situation. If I was going to take one gamble in this backfield, it would be Devontae Booker, and that's because he's going absolutely free. Mm-hmm. At this point with Charles, he's one of my favorite players of all time. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I love the guy to death, but, you know, having injuries to both knees, I'm very, very worried about that. He's getting up there in age now, playing for a Denver team that is making strides on the offensive line side, but still isn't quite there yet. I could certainly see them taking a step forward this year and maybe being like a close to top 10 to 15 unit. But over the last couple of years, their main problem has been their offensive line. And with Jamaal Charles probably losing some elusiveness and pretty much being signed as just a flyer, not somebody that they really need to rely on. I'm pretty much willing to, you know, forego any type of draft shares on him. If he was going later, then I might be willing to take a shot. But right now I think he's going as, you know, a top 100 pick or somewhere close to that. Yeah. 104. There's just other options I would rather go with. And like I said, I would have no problems just waiting and going with Devontae Booker, who is literally going as the 68th running back, 61st on the fantasy football calculator, undrafted in most formats. While Booker was not great last year, I think some of that could be put on the fact that he was a rookie. Some of that can also be put on the fact that he just made a ton of mistakes. The offensive line, once again, was not very good. I think the Denver scheme will be better this year, and Booker going absolutely free possesses just as much talent and upside as somebody like Charles. So CJ Anderson, obviously, as much as I love him, he hasn't been able to stay healthy. This is a backfield that I don't think will have one guy emerge, but if there was going to be one, I think it would be Booker.
Yeah, I'm right there with you on Booker. I think he's the guy to own if you're going to take a shot on any of these guys. I don't really want to have anything to do with CJ Anderson or Jamaal Charles. Pro Football Focus ranked Denver's offensive line is 25th. I think they're going to be better than that this year. I think Garrett Bowles is going to earn the job out of camp and out of the preseason at left tackle, and I think their line will be much improved. They've got a strong interior. They really just need a strong tackle to really push that up into kind of an average to above average offensive line. I think Booker is the guy that I would bet on. I just think he's got the best chance of running away with a job at some point, but I don't think it's going to happen out of the preseason. And so, you know, in your 12, 14, 16 team formats, you stash Booker and hope that by week three, week four, you know, Jamaal Charles is back on IR and CJ Anderson is giving up the job either through injury or poor performance. Eli, what are your thoughts on this situation?
I'm not really understanding the Booker love, and I'm not really understanding the Anderson hate. I don't even care about Jamaal Charles. I'm not even going to talk about that. Booker was terrible last year. He was really bad, and he's already 25. He's only 1 year younger than CJ Anderson.
He's free. He's free.
Yeah.
No, I get it. No, I get it.
Going undrafted.
No, I get it. I'm not saying he's not a guy to take a chance on who could pay dividends for you. I get that, but I just don't think it's going to happen. And it's partly the reason I don't think it's going to happen is because I think C.J. Anderson's really good. He's averaged 4.6 yards a carry in his career, and he's also a pretty good pass catcher out of the backfield. Last year was, you know, a little of a mess for CJ Anderson and owners. I get it. He only played 7 games. He only had 440 yards or whatever. But in this time, when he was on the field, he was decent. He wasn't as good as the prior 2 years.
He only had one good game, though. If memory serves me right, I think he only had one good game that boosted those stats.
I just think it was one of those. It was like a little bit of a lost year. So, you know, it was disappointing, but he's still really talented. He's only 1 year older than Booker.
He had 2 or 3 good games, looking at his stat line.
Yeah.
Also a small sample size in general. But I like the bigger sample size of him being really, really good the previous 2 years. So I think CJ Anderson's job is going to take something crazy to change that. I think I'd rather have Charles than Booker, but whatever. I'm probably going to avoid the other two. But I'll be having CJ Anderson most of my leagues, I would imagine.
I mean, for me, a lot of it's with CJ Anderson's got to do with health. I mean, if he comes back healthy, I think he's a running back too, and I have him ranked that way coming into the season. I rank him 16th, and I think I'm the highest on him in the Friends.
I mean, he's had one injury. Why are we like labeling him as like a massive injury risk?
Well, because he didn't play the rest of the season. You've got to see what he looks like, and I mean, what projects future injury better than past injuries coming off of a torn meniscus?
I know, but every running back in the history of the NFL has been injured at some point, basically. So I think we're overrating
and a lot of and most running backs only last 4 to 5 years in the NFL. So
he was passed up multiple times, you know, between multiple schemes. He's been passed up, which is a little bit worrisome. Even though, I mean, I'm a big protractor of Anderson, but it's really tough.
Not.
No, I am. I really am. Last year I had him everywhere, you know, which kind of plays into my, you know, lack of love for him right now. But you know, right now he's going as a 5th-round pick, and I think that's fine. But there's other guys in that area, a la Doug Martin, that I would rather take a shot on, who's going a little bit later as well. But Anderson is fine. I don't think anybody's really arguing how good he is in terms of skill set. It's more so what his role will be, and if and when he gets injured again.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's, you know, like I said, I've got him ranked 16th. I'm the highest on him out of the group. I just, for me, it's, I really like Booker's value, and I don't want to have anything to do with Jamal Charles, but for me, it's another one of those situations where I feel like you need to handcuff CJ Anderson with a guy like Booker, and do I want to do that, or just take the shot that Booker maybe gets the job at some point and spend, you know, a high draft pick on a different running back that maybe I like a little bit more. You know, it's the Eddie Lacy argument. If Eddie Lacy ranked 18th, I don't want Eddie Lacy on my team. All right, let's move on. Talk about Eric Decker signing with Tennessee. I got into an argument with some sort of Tennessee Titans homer that writes for SB Nation. I won't mention his Twitter handle because I made fun of Marcus Mariota. But Eric Decker arrives in town. What is this his value for this season, and then the value he brings to the rest of the squad, Eli?
I love Eric Decker. He's always been one of my favorite players. Just, you know, about as consistent, reliable, and underrated as you could be. He's had, you know, 3,000-yard seasons, almost 4. He's had 3 double-digit touchdown seasons. He always seems to be goes later in drafts than he should be based on his reliability and production. I do worry a little bit about this year, though. It's getting a little bit older. He's coming off, you know, a pretty big injury. I love Mariota. I know you hate him. I love him as a, you know, a fantasy quarterback and just a solid player overall. But in terms of, you know, throwing the ball, it's obviously not his bread and butter, so that hurts the receivers. Then also, you know, you got a fair amount of receivers on that roster. You got Matthews, who's pretty good. They just took Corey Davis with the 5th overall pick. Tajae Sharp was pretty solid in his rookie season out of nowhere. So it's going to, you know, obviously Delanie Walker's a stud. So there's not going to be as many targets for Decker as there usually is, so that's going to hurt him. But I do think he's going probably a little too late for the production. He's still pretty solid. I'll take him on my team any day, but I think the days of him being a 1,000-yard guy with 10 touchdowns are probably over.
Mike, what are your thoughts on Decker and then the whole Tennessee situation?
Yeah, I love Decker as well. I think that he's one of the more unheralded wide receivers in football. It's unfortunate that he got injured because, you know, we don't really know what he's going to look like coming into this year, and by all accounts, he's rushing things a bit, which worries me a tad. But at the same time, the Tennessee offense made some strides last year. Certainly in DFS, They made some had some really good weeks, more so against Green Bay specifically. I know they had 1 week last year against Green Bay where they just went absolutely off. But with Decker, it's kind of tough because, you know, right now he's going right around Randall Cobb, Devontae Parker, Corey Coleman, even Macklin, who we talked about before. But the Titans overall didn't throw much last year. They were a top six running unit. They ran in the top six last year. And Mariota was in the bottom 20 or was 20th in completion percentage. I don't think he'll probably make any strides in that department. They have more mouths to feed. So overall, I'm not too excited about Decker. If I own him in a keeper league or something, I would definitely be trying to move him just based on the role and based on the fact that they have other weapons like Corey Davis and, you know, Rashard Matthews, DeMarco Murray. I think overall the guy to buy on this offense is Derrick Henry, but that's no secret. Everybody is kind of doing that, and his draft cost is kind of echoing that sentiment as well. But overall, I think that Decker is going to be fine. I think he'll probably be a wide receiver 3-4 when it's all said and done, which is going to be fine. But I am somebody that would be keeping tabs on his injury updates as the, you know, training camp rolls along, preseason, make sure that everything's going swimmingly there, because if it's not, then we could be seeing a guy that is, you know, on the questionable tag literally every single week, and we know how much of a pain in the ass that is.
I like Decker this year. I think Tennessee is a pretty decent landing spot, in spite of the fact that I don't think Marcus Mariota is a good real-life quarterback. And this is one of the things that, you know, people who play fantasy really need to come to grips with, is you can be a good fantasy option, a good fantasy quarterback, and not a good real-life quarterback.
Tim Tebow.
You guys, I heard Tim Tebow. What was the other one?
Kirk Cousins.
Tyrod Taylor. So, I mean, you know, you've got, you know, and I think Mariota is that guy, I think. And he's young. He's going to, you know, hopefully he's going to develop more, but he did not show progressions. I think he's going to, I think the wide receiver core is going to struggle at times. But I think Decker becomes the number one option out of that wide receiver core. I don't believe that that Corey Davis will necessarily hit the ground running. I think people tend to sometimes forget that wide receivers sometimes have a hard time translating, especially learning how to run proper routes. And, you know, we're talking about Mariota, a guy who typically goes to his first option. And I think Decker's going to be that guy a lot of the time, Decker and Delanie Walker. And so I think there could be some a good amount of volume for Decker. And so I have him ranked initially as my 30th wide receiver, which makes him a wide receiver 3. I think that's fair. You know, depending on what the health reports look like and how he looks in preseason, that could dramatically lower him if he's not looking healthy. But at the moment, I've got to believe that the Titans did their due diligence and that he's going to be a focal point of that offense, the offensive passing game. Obviously, they're going to be a run-first offense with Mariota, with Derrick Henry, with DeMarco Murray. But I think a lot of the targets will go Decker's way, and that will the volume will give him a fair amount of value this year. All right, let's move on and talk about Brandon Marshall joining the New York Giants, giving Eli Manning a ton of targets this year. But will there be enough targets for Brandon Marshall, Eli?
I think so, especially considering he's going 32nd among receivers on ESPN right now. That just seems crazy to me. I know he's 33 and last year was a disappointment, but I chalk that more up to the lack of quarterback play in New York for the Jets than I do the fact that he was 33. Because as a 32-year-old, he dropped 1,500 yards with 14 touchdowns. I mean, that's insane. The fact that he's going as a wide receiver 3 right now is just crazy to me. I'm sure he'll never put up another 1,500-yard season again. I get it, but especially because you got Odell Beckham there and Sterling Shepard. But I just think he's going to be pretty reliable, pretty consistent. He's not going to hurt you. There's definitely still some upside left in him. And I think he's going to be rejuvenated playing with a real quarterback and on a team that can compete for the playoffs, something that just never happens for Brandon. So I'm excited for Marshall. I'm excited to get him in drafts for where he's going. I think people are going to be really pleased when they get him in drafts at that spot.
Mike, what are your thoughts on Marshall?
Yeah, he had a down year last year, and it was unfortunate because I had him in multiple spots, and his target share was amazing. So in terms of him getting the attention and the target share, I don't think that will be the same when he goes to the Giants or as he's going to be playing out this season here. But at the same time, I do think that he will be a focal point in the red zone, which he's been in his career. 22 touchdowns between 2014 and 2015 is amazing. And I think that Odell Beckham will continue to be a stud like he is and have those deep yards after catch touchdowns like he usually does. But Marshall, since the Giants don't have a number one running back in terms of somebody they can go to on the goal line consistently, I think Paul Perkins could be that guy, but we haven't seen that yet. The fact that they have a bad offensive line as well, one of the worst in my opinion, they can use Marshall to their advantage, especially near the red zone, and using him on short little in routes and slants and such, and use his size and agility and height to be able to get some added touchdowns in the red zone that they might not be able to do with their running backs, since their offensive line is so bad. It's weird that they have so many weapons. This has been cited by multiple places, but it's weird that they've just added weapons as opposed to try and stockpile the offensive line a bit. And I think that they're going to have to use some kind of quick twitch running or routes that are being run by the receivers to be able to just negate the fact that they have such a bad protection unit up front. So overall, I like Marshall. I think that he's going at an egregious spot. I'm willing to take him as a wide receiver two this year. Because I think that he will get enough touchdowns to warrant that. PBR formats, I think he'll be fine as well. I think just in standard formats where you're used to the consistent 100-yard games from him, that those might be a little bit fewer than we've seen in the years past. But I think that he's being taken too low.
I think he's been taken right where he should be taken. I mean, he's moving to – I mean, you talked about how awful the Jets quarterback situation is. Can we all come to the conclusion that Eli Manning is no longer good at his job? I mean, let's be honest. Like, Eli Manning is not a good quarterback anymore, and he's got one of the worst offensive lines in football in front of him. There's way too many passing targets. I don't think there's a ton of reason to be really excited that Brandon Marshall's now in New York. I think this was an awful landing spot for him. In terms of fantasy, I mean, maybe real life, you know, great. Yeah, and he's going to be on a team that has a chance of competing. But I don't like this at all. I really don't. I think he's a wide receiver three. I think he obviously has some upside, but he's getting older.
But you just said he's a wide receiver three. Yeah, that's where he's going in drafts. And you exactly. just said he has upside.
I think he has some upside. I also think he has some huge downside. So you got to average it out and put him as a wide receiver three.
Look, Eli Manning's not as good as some people think potentially, but in terms he throws the ball a ton. They throw a lot,
and they're going to throw more this year.
I mean, he's thrown 600 passes essentially three straight years, and his completion percentage has been a lot better these last 3 years.
Did we lose Eli?
Oh, I accidentally went on mute. Epic fail on my part. But, I mean, he's thrown 600 times three straight years. He's thrown a higher percentage completion these last 3 years than he did previously. I know he's a flawed quarterback. He turns the ball over too much. But he's definitely made some strides in some areas. So I think, yeah, it'd be nice if Brandon Marshall was, like, the number one guy on a different team instead of being, like, the number two here. But I still think he's going to get plenty of opportunity.
Eli Manning... Yeah, no, I agree, Eli. He's not as good as everybody says, but he's certainly not as bad as you're making him out to be, Justin. Like, what would we say after the 2007 season where he had 20 interceptions? Like, what do you say after 2010 when he had 25 interceptions? Like, he has constantly been a guy that's been inconsistent. That's the one thing that has been consistent, is him being just on and off every other year, it seems like. But the fact that the Giants added Brandon Marshall is nothing but good for Eli Manning. How can it be bad in any way? The fact that they have a bad offensive line is the same as last year, and he still ended up with 26 touchdowns. I would bet my life that he ends up with 30 touchdowns this year, 100%. The fact that you add Brandon Marshall,
again,
it's just...
Again, just because you're a good fantasy quarterback doesn't mean you're a
exactly.
good real-life quarterback. But we were talking Great. About Brandon Marshall's value, not Eli Manning. I think Eli Manning has a pretty nice value this year in terms of being a QB2. I think, but it has nothing to do. I'm high on Kirk Cousins this year, but it's not because he's a good quarterback. Kirk Cousins is a shitty quarterback.
Eli Manning's a good quarterback, but I thought that you said before that Eli Manning was going to be part of the reason that Brandon Marshall wouldn't have a good season, and I disagree with that.
I think that is part of it. I think also part of it is the fact that there's a ton of targets and a ton of places. There are a ton of people that are going to need targets. I just don't see how Brandon Marshall scores so many touchdowns when you've got Odell Beckham Jr. there. They're going to give Paul Perkins some more work. You've got Sterling Shepard, who was one of the best rookies in the game last year. They draft a tight end that can catch the ball really well. I think there's a lot of mouths to feed in that offense, and I don't think this was a good landing spot for him for his fantasy value. And I mean, like I'm saying he's a wide receiver three to me. Like wide receiver three, Eli ranked him as a wide receiver three as well. Let's do a would you rather real quick with Brandon Marshall for this season. Would you rather Brandon Marshall or Dante Moncrief?
I would go Marshall and standard.
Marshall.
Okay, I'm going Moncrief. Would you go Marshall or Jamison Crowder?
Marshall.
Crowder.
It's Crowder for me as well. Would you go Marshall or Golden Tate?
Marshall.
I got Tate one spot ahead of Marshall. Tate.
Wow. I'm picking all ones that I would take. I would take the other player over Marshall. Marshall or Martavis Bryant?
Marshall.
No, Marshall.
I'm taking Bryant. All right. All right, let's do one more, and then we're going to wrap up for this episode. Let's talk about Latavius Murray signing Minnesota. Is he the guy there, Eli?
I don't know if he's necessarily the guy, but the fact that he's going 47th in drafts at running back, it seems like a pretty good value to me.
Is he really?
What? Yeah, I got him ranked 37. He's going 47th on ESPN right now. Maybe that'll change. 46, sorry, 46. So maybe that'll move up. Who knows? But you know, Murray wasn't great in Oakland, but he was decent. And we don't know how good Dalvin Cook's going to be. I can't imagine Dalvin Cook's going to get a million carries. So there's going to be a role for Murray, whether Cook's productive or not. So the fact that he's only 47th seems only upside to me. If Cook flames out or gets hurt, Murray's going to be a stud for going 47th. I think you another handcuff situation, maybe you want to get both if you can. And it probably wouldn't be that difficult to get Murray considering where he's going. So yeah, I'm all about Murray this year. I think it could pay off huge dividends for you.
Mike, what are your thoughts?
I'm the completely opposite camp. Murray, despite having one of the best offensive lines, if not the best offensive line to run behind, ended up 13th in points per game last year in standard formats. And, you know, while that's solid and probably doesn't warrant him being the 43rd running back off the board, I just think Dalvin Cook's going to take this job. He is more suited for this scheme. Sam Bradford is a dink and dunk type guy, and that fits Cook to a T. The offensive line is terrible in Minnesota. It's the complete opposite of what was offered in Oakland. I do think that he'll get a good share of goal line touches, but he's also coming off of an injury. We don't even know if he's going to be ready for training camp. He's saying, Murray's saying that he's going to be the running back to own in week one, that he's going to get the lion's share of the carries and such. But I'll believe that when I see it. I mean, they spent a first-round pick, Minnesota did, on Cook for a reason. Rookie running backs don't carry that much risk. And, you know, while Cook didn't have a great combine, I watched him for years at Florida State, and he has the goods. I think that Cook is not being drafted at a great spot. He's going in front of guys like LeGarrette Blount, Doug Martin, Amir Abdullah, Mike Gillisley, Paul Perkins. But so if you're looking at it from that angle, Latavius Murray might be a little bit better value. But at the end of the day, if you're not using him most weeks because he's only getting four or five touches and maybe one game out of every three he gets a touchdown, what does that really worth to your fantasy team? And that's where I think Murray is going to kind of lie this season.
Yeah, I didn't realize how high Dalvin Cook was going. He's going 21st in ESPN at a running back. I mean, that's
30th in the fantasy football calculator. So
okay. I mean, and this is a time of year where the ADPs are going to fluctuate wildly. So, and depending on what site you're looking at, the ADPs are going to be massively different. But I'm all in on Murray at his price. I think there was a reason they gave him the contract they did. I think there's also a reason they gave Dalvin Cook the contract. They're going to run the ball a ton. This is going to turn into a run-first offense. They're going to try to just ground and pound I think both these guys are going to be heavily used, especially early on in the season. As long as Murray's healthy and all reports are good right now, I think he's going to way outproduce his value currently at his ADP. So definitely a guy that I'll be targeting as long as the ADP stays low.
You need a glass of water, buddy?
Yeah, sorry. I'm having some issues with my throat real quick all of a sudden.
I don't know how we can just dismiss Bishop Sankey. Like, he's not going to add anything to this offense. I mean,
I hate you. That is going to wrap us up for this episode. We're going to, I'll try to get with either Eli or Mike, or maybe you guys get together and finish off the rest of kind of the signings before we jump in to some of our ranking episodes and talking divisions and talking position previews. But we're going to try to get multiple episodes out each week prior to the start of the season, and then we will definitely be going multiple episodes in season. So hopefully maybe even get some cool guests on in season or in the preseason and in season as well. So definitely keep tuned to this podcast. Give us a rate and review. Really helps us out. Eli, tell me where you can reach what you're working on.
You can find me on Twitter at EliFWFB. And as usual, I'm not really working on anything. My vacation just ended, so I got to go back to work tonight. Kill me, please.
Mike, why don't you tell people where you can reach and where you're working?
Well, it was a pleasure being on with you, Eli, the most miserable man in the world. I think that we can all agree on that. So it's been a pleasure. You can reach me on Twitter at Mike Werner, FWFB. I just got the boxes that are the right boxes to be able to ship those mugs that you were talking about earlier, Justin. So sorry to a couple of people that I offered mugs to and haven't been able to get them. I ordered some boxes. They weren't right, so I had to wait for other boxes, etc. But they are available if you give us a nice review on iTunes and such and screenshot to Justin or me or whoever, then I'll hook you up. Yeah, check out anything I write on friendswithfantasybenefits.com, and yeah, get ready for the season.
All right, you can reach me on Twitter at Justin Mason FWFB. Email me or the show, friendswithfantasybenefits@gmail.com. Read all my stuff for baseball over at Fangraphs, for football at friendswithfantasybenefits.com. You can hear me on the radio on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network from 8 to 10 p.m. With Laura Michaels on Thursdays with Laura Michaels for the Tout Wars Hour. And should have some other cool stuff I should be able to announce here shortly coming up pretty soon. So definitely stay tuned for all of that. Stay tuned for all the podcasts here for football season. It's one of my favorite times of the year. I love football. So definitely stay tuned. That's going to wrap us up for this episode. For Mike, Eli, and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic football season.